Racing, trending topic, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bank.
A very good Tuesday race fan, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, I'm just looking at with something I printed, and I mistakenly allowed the printer to print on both sides, which I did not want, and so now I'm yeah, not a great start on that front. All right, well, looking forward to Wednesday's Saratoga card is what I was doing, and so, all right, I will work around that, and we'll work around missing yesterday, and of course, thanks to everybody, and Casey, thanks everybody, undoubtedly, and little issue in the respiratory environs. And KO'd him yesterday, but he is powering through, and he's amazing because they only let him out of the hospital this morning. So came home and a little bit of rest, and going to get through this morning and get a good day's. You can't, as I learned in my first and only ever hospital stay regarding which goes back to the heart thing. I didn't realize they came in every hour or so and poked you and prodded you, and it's hard to feel better when you can't sleep more than 53 minutes at a time. So thanks to Case for the stalwart effort this morning, and opening weekend obviously to talk about, as well as anticipation for today's draw for opening day at Del Mar. They're going to get going, and I don't know if we're going to get a split split running of the ocean side that for so long. That would be one of the fun things to anticipate for opening day at Del Mar. It's so weird. It really, and obviously it contributed to outlandish numbers. The Saratoga opening weekend handle just crazed, not the least of which was influenced, of course, by the double carryover. And that kind of took, I think, everybody's interest and overshadowed, overwhelmed a lot of things the first 3 days, essentially. And a $300,000 pick six payday that had to have gone to, I think, eight players once you fold in the consos. I think eight, right? That'd be 2.4 million, so that would probably be right. I thought the weekend had, the first 4 days, we had opening day to digest, and in fact, we're going to get an opening day postscript in with Eddie Keneally in about 15 minutes or so. Eddie won the first graded stake, so Eddie gets the distinction of being the first visitor to talk about, in this case, Just Cindy and the Justify daughter that won the Schuylerville on Thursday. And so we'll talk to Eddie, who hustled back to Kentucky, and I'm sure he'll be back with a few, but we'll talk about his summer and expectations. And I know that tomorrow, in fact, the Wednesday get-together, I happened to talk to Sid, exchange some notes with Sid back and forth, and he's writing about Justify for TDN in his Taking Stock column tomorrow. Justify off to a scary start with international stake winners, now the graded stake winner and the group winner, and did I see something that they're not gonna shuttle him, right? Did I see that? I think I saw that. That he and somebody else, right? From Kumar, they weren't going to shuttle this year, this winter. Anyway, Justify off really strong. Four of his first 10 starters, I mentioned that the other day, first out winners. And, you know, and to some degree, you wouldn't necessarily think that just because his career started a little late doesn't necessarily mean that his babies won't be precocious. I mean, obviously, they've come out running. So I know Sid's writing about him. The highlights all over the place from the weekend, and we'll see who else joins. I'm kind of double stacking the visitors, too, from Monday, because Rich will be with us, Rich Migliori, at the top of hour two, and we'll get Mig's early take the first 4 days, and Johnny D later on. Johnny was out. Johnny might have wanted to stay, actually, in California. He was out there, and he'll tell you about his joyous get-together with his daughter and granddaughter. And, of course, his daughter lives in Hong Kong with her husband and now the granddaughter. And so Johnny, you know, they've only had a chance to see them, I think, two times. And so they treasured the opportunity. So Johnny was out there, and he also, you know, was close by to Del Mar. And so we'll talk about what to look forward to Johnny's many years out there. And so we'll start our Del Mar coverage a little bit in anticipation of tomorrow's card. All right. And got a couple others we expect to visit as well. But we got I don't know if Andy called me last night, but I fell asleep early. And so I don't know if he was calling to say he could do the show or that he couldn't do the show. So I don't know. So maybe Andy, maybe not. but we got plenty to talk about. And that also includes the non-Saratoga action. Lone Star, of course, is wrapping up, and with the circumstance that is kind of a difficulty, obviously, when it comes to the Texas Racing Commission's standoff, essentially, with HISA and regarding HISA. And so the suspension of the signal out of Texas. So the handle has dried up, but of course they're still running the races, and they had a big stakes weekend, both Open Company on Saturday and then the Texas Breds on Sunday, and I'll get through that. Laurel, of course, had the DeFrancis Dash card that featured Butchie Reed and Frankie Pennington with Barron, the Wigalia veteran, and Barron, a winner in the DeFrancis. And also, it was funny. There was a number of DQs over the weekend. Every time I looked up, there was another horse getting taken down for a stake, including Mike Maker, where Maker was both taken down and put up. Ran 1-2 in that Texas Turf Classic. So I think the Maker, there's a lot of the Maker clients, you know, buy horses and claim horses together. So I imagine that they all kind of take it in stride. But, Field Pass ended up getting put up. That's where Javier Castellano was on Saturday. Javi was down at Lone Star. And, in fact, somebody said to me, oh, is Javier Castellano, he's pretty much retired now. No, he won 3 races on opening day. He's just not here today. Javier riding well. There was also, Chubb Wagon. Eons got put up for Arno Delacour. That was in the Prince George's. And you know, we were so busy Thursday and Friday rolling into the meet that we didn't talk about some of the other things that happened midweek, including the Dr. Penny, Princess Grace for Mike Stenham, and Florent Giroux. Giroux, how about Giroux, right, on Sunday? It was his birthday, and he won the Sanford. We'll get to that. And we might get Brad Cox. We had Brad Cox on TV, Seth and I did, on Sunday. We had a funny show where at the last minute, Dave O'Rourke had to cancel. We were going to have Dave O'Rourke and Brad Cox. And so Seth and I, you know, talked about a million things before Brad came over from Turfworks. Brad Cox actually with a revelation that kind of a tongue-in-cheek revelation, but Arklow. Yes, Arklow. I said to him, what is he? Is he 13 now? Arklow, the 8-year-old. Arklow. He said Arklow was working. Last seen last October in the Joe Hurt. I had no idea that Arklow was still in training. So you're going to see Arklow this Saratoga. It's pretty funny. Said he worked great the other day. In fact, he went in 101-3. He's actually put two works in already at Saratoga. So, yeah, Arklow preparing for his 8-year-old debut. Right? Did you know that Arklow was still in training? I hadn't noticed a note. Somebody had written about it. Plenty of other things to dig through here. Canterbury had stakes action and on. So we'll work everything in as the morning unfolds. I should mention Ellis because I just tweeted Marshall Graham, who is the best when it comes to the financials or certainly the statistical analysis and the mathematics. The first 3 days of penny breakage, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Ellis, and it's gonna take a little bit of getting used to. I don't think it'll take long, but how funny is it to look at a chart? You pull up a chart now, and there's those fractional what essentially looks to us, you know, like fractional numbers that down to the penny. It's pretty fun, and it's immediately put money in players' pockets, and Marshall estimated some of it. But like, for instance, in that stake on Sunday that Ian Wilkes and Chris' son-in-law Chris Landeros combined, market rumor, the Affleete Alex for Randy Block and Six Columns, went off at... instead of 6-5, went off at $1.26 to one. The runner-up, Undisturbed, $3.22. Demodog, who was third, $4.31. It's just crazy to see the numbers. Market rumor paid $2.52. So it's kind of fun, and more importantly, it's ideally going to trigger other follow-up. And here's the numbers. I'll give you the number. Maybe we'll get Pat on. I wanted to specifically packaged Marshall's two back-to-back tweets about this. I put them together and, again, wanted to laud Adam Koenig and the work that he did to get this done. And as I mentioned, just shockingly and just sadly, was beaten in a primary last month now in Northern Kentucky. I mean, just ridiculous that somebody would be as influential and successful as a state representative as Adam has been for Florence and the environs. What is that? Kenton County and... I think, all right, Kenton County, and trying to envision the license plates with the county underneath. The fact that this guy that beat him in the primary, I just. It's depressing, along with, obviously, similar type scenarios in and around the country. I mean, here's somebody who had not only done a great job serving his district, had, you know, risen to, you know, certain levels of influence and prominence on committees. And the fact that voters in Republican voters in the district, because it was a Republican primary, it would not want to, because, you know, the Republicans going to win up there, the fact that they wouldn't want to have Adam continue as their rep is just preposterous and apparently all, you know, all kinds of, as they say, dark money comes pouring in because, you know, Adam kind of not reactionary enough. Just ridiculous. So everybody's thanks should go first and foremost to Adam, who had an idea to do this when he heard Pat Cummings on the show, actually, and thought this could be something good for, you know, Kentucky, and not just good for Kentucky, good for horse players, and, you know, all over, potentially all over the country, if this can be the first domino on breakage. Marshall tweeting that in the first 3 days, penny breakage at Ellis reduced takeout by 1.12% in the win pool, 1.7% in the place pool, 1.8% in the show pool versus dime breakage. $33,000 from the whip, from those pools, back to the bettors. And Marshall used the first race Friday, where the amusing Zelig won and paid $338. Now, this is the it really is the perfect example of and snapshot of what, you know, penny breakage can do. Paid $338 instead of $3.20. That without the breakage change, horse would have paid $320, and instead paid $338. Yeah. So, from a breakage or a takeout equivalent, 17.83 versus 22.21 with the dime breakage. That's it's amazing. It's just amazing that, you know, you think, oh, it's going to be nickels, pennies, whatever. Well, this gives you a clear indication of what this is going to be. So, you know, this is, you know, potentially one of those wars of positive attrition in going the right direction. There you go. So, you know what? I will reach out. Pat, if you're listening, expect the text. Chris Clement, too, today, I think, in hour two. So, let me, before we get Eddie Keneally in here, let me also mention from yesterday, one thing we would have certainly had a chance, I think, yesterday to do is talk about the Colonial Stakes yesterday. And we're keeping an eye on Michelle Lovell. Michelle split, having the two favorites yesterday. The Van Cleef went to front run the Fed, who's now sixth. The Fed Biz now with Kayo Karamori for owner George Sharp, and front run the Fed with IRAD down there yesterday, 7-2. Winner went off as the second choice behind Just Might, who was even money and who really didn't do much running. Just kind of went evenly and never really mounted a charge. It wasn't really run in blistering time, but he just didn't, I don't know. But then an hour later, change of control, another Fed Biz. This one, of course, the Michelle's had tremendous success, and her and Perry Harrison, and change of control. A winner with authority at 3-2 with Colby Hernandez. So the two stakes at Colonial, and there were stakes yesterday as well. I should mention the New York Derby yesterday. Always usually at that spot. Coming the Monday after Saratoga opens, and Barresi, the Paradise Farms, David Stoddicker, Leia Band Colt for Mike Maker, coming out of the Ohio Derby, and he won. It's funny, he wasn't favored. Aggregation, Chad's runner for Seth Klarman, aggregation ended up going favored at even money, and Barresi with closer to 3-2. So 490 to win, just a four-horse field. And Ricardo Santana went out there. Johnny was out there on Best Idea for Todd and Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola. And Manny Franco went too. He was on aggregation. And so there was your 1-2-3. But that's the second, along with Classic Causeway, right, out of the Ohio Derby. The Ohio Derby, super key race. And then at Presque Isle, too, the Malvern Rose, Roses for Deborah. I don't know if that was a hunch play in the Malvern Rose. Roses for Deborah, Michelle Brafford, and for John O'Mara. And this is a Blackstone Liam's Map filly that won well as third choice, actually. Paid $10.40. You Look Cold, that... that Robert O'Connor, Kinsman runner, that went favored, a little under 2-1. So, minor upset in the Mount Vernon Rose. So there was the non-Saratoga action all yesterday. So let's dive into the Saratoga conversation, and we'll get Eddie. And I reached out to Eddie on... on Sunday, I wasn't sure. I kind of figured that he had gone back to Kentucky, and I don't think he's gone. I think he's only going to ship in to the meet this year, and we'll get some of that kind of information. And you know, one of the things, I was sitting with Gary in the golf cart on Sunday. I got there early Sunday before TV, and with Luce on the lead. And the filly, I haven't really given you an update while we wait for Eddie on the Irish War Cry filly, and she's doing super. I think I mentioned the name. It's Countess Constance. And the name is directly tied to her parentage. And Irish War Cry, out of freedom's flame. So, you know, in my special, attempt to, to name the horse, name horses with some... panache. I went looking for Irish female freedom fighters in the the efforts for Irish independence. And I'd heard, it's funny, I had heard of Constance Markovitz, but I really didn't know her story. And fascinating. Irish, not just freedom fighter, an amazing figure. She was a suffragette. She, obviously women's rights in the teens and into the 20s, and just an amazing individual. So I thought, all right, perfect. And so I didn't want to, Markovitz isn't really, it's not a conducive name. You're trying to, they say, try to, put a name in a race call and decide on that and decide that way. So you put the name into a race call. So Countess, and she married Count Markovitz, and so she became Countess Constance Markovitz. And so there it is, Countess Constance. Which, I thought a little alliteration power, right? she, Casey's still trying to reach Eddie, so I'll go on this riff. It it's so amazing. I was having this conversation with I had it with Johnny actually off air over the weekend, and also with Marty Shapiro, who's a partner on this horse as well as on Shirzando. And of course, we actually bought Shirzando from Marty and Dave Scanlon. He's turned out right now, and I'm going to talk. Actually, I got to talk about that the GMP farm that the former Stonebridge farm that the Gary Gullo is managing, and I'm going to get Gary maybe tomorrow actually, because we're actually definitely tomorrow, because this weekend is the Lustgarten Foundation signing trainer autograph session, and it's done in honor of and in memory of Dominic Aluzio. And of course, it raises money. The Lustgarten Foundation, every penny they raise goes to try to solve the difficulty of pancreatic cancer. So we'll talk to you. I was going to talk to Gary about that anyway, but we'll also talk about the farm that they they bought the farm, and literally, and they're doing turnouts and doing all kinds of things. Plus, there's also like a spa. There's a human spa on the grounds. So anyway, he was telling me about it last night. And on that topic, last night over at the Basin in Schuylerville, rerun with a first of their summer activities. Lisa Malloy and everybody that does a terrific job with rerun. Gary's on the board as well. And had a really lovely evening. And the weather broke. It rained all day yesterday, and it broke just long enough for everybody to hang out on the patio overlooking the river. So thanks to everybody who came out for rerun. Fundraiser on the river last night. First of many this summer, obviously. All right, back to, as we wait for Eddie, and he's got a horse, I guess, that's training. So we'll be a minute or two before Eddie Keneally joins us. The filly came up from Florida after OBS, and one of the things that Paul Barone and Gary mentioned, they said she behaves great. She can be tough to in the morning. You go to put the bridle on her, and she fights. So they went through that for a couple of weeks, and called in the dentist, because when a horse has issues in the mouth, that's one of the hints that something might be amiss. If they don't want a bridle put into their mouth, they're telling you, my mouth is sore. Sure enough, she's got a tooth that needed to come out that had like a jagged edge. You also get what they call wolf. I should have a dentist on a wolf tooth, which is like a jagged, sharp tooth that cuts their mouth up. And these there's all kinds of not behavioral, but there's all kinds of things that, in terms of the way a horse moves, that this can be influenced. And one of the things I mentioned, Marty Shapiro. Marty, when I had him look during the sale, I had him look at the workout at her drill, because it sure looked to me in her drill like she was getting better as she was finishing. She went in 10-3, which is kind of an average number, and she was finishing well around the turn. And then she's by Irish War Cry, so you kind of think she's probably going to be a horse that wants to go a little longer, middle distance or beyond. So Marty watched it and he said, she's got kind of a high, she kind of has a kind of a high carriage, kind of a high-headed way of going upright. And when they're like that, they don't necessarily stride out the way you want them, really reach. And there's other things that could be influenced. Also, the synthetic, which has a turfy-like feel, and so a horse that runs with high knee action. So this is all part and parcel with how a horse travels. Well, Sure enough, the dentist takes this tooth out, and then she, you know, gets back to galloping. And it's like she's a different horse. It's unbelievable. Dropping her head down, she's no longer, you know, there's no discomfort when the rider, you know, has got the reins, and she's moving completely. It's amazing. So to me, it's one of the, and Richie, actually, I don't know if Richie's got a chance to listen this morning before he joins us, but it's something he could probably talk to. And Funny Side is probably the most famous horse that, in fact, Eddie Keneally's joining us, and maybe Eddie can even touch on this. But one of the things that can change a horse's performance level instantaneously is if something's going on in the mouth. And this was really our first experience directly with that. Eddie Keneally wins the first graded stake of the Saratoga season with Just Cindy and Arad Ortiz. Eddie, congratulations.
Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'm always happy to be able to call you and have a conversation. And, of course, in this case, it's a great way to start the Saratoga season. Talk a little bit about this filly and how you got to where you were on Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you, she's been push-button straightforward all the way through since she first came in around the first week of April from Ocala, and trained forwardly along, didn't miss any training time, had no setbacks, which they all get at least one or two little setbacks in the spring of their two-year-old season. But she had no setbacks, no coughing, no shins, nothing at all, no temperatures. So we were fortunate that we were able to get her ready for her first race without any setbacks and had her plenty fit for that first race. And she overcame quite a bit. She was in tight, but got a great ride from Bejarano and won nicely on debut.
This one, I certainly know that dam, Genda's Agenda, proud citizen, and Clarkland Farm, and Fred sells quite a few, but this one he wanted to keep.
Yeah. She was in the September sale at Keeneland last fall, but didn't get sold, so he was happy to keep her and race her. And we were glad that that's where she ended up in our barn. And she acts like she's got so much quality, and I don't think we've seen the best of her yet. I think she'll be even better when the races get longer.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because I was talking to Sid Fernando, who's writing a column about Justify for tomorrow's TDN, and Justify specifically had a few things that delayed his debut, obviously, but you still wouldn't necessarily expect him to be getting all of these early winners.
Yeah, I mean it's funny what young stallions come through and get it done right off the bat, and other horses you have to wait for before they have any success with their progeny on the racetrack. And it's a tough bet to know who's going to go to the top of the class and who's just going to maybe not make it at all. And, yeah, you're right. Perhaps one would not have thought that Justify was going to be the sire of precocious runners. But as it turns out, he is. But I think he'll also be the sire of quality runners as the year unfolds. And I think they'll continue to win at the sprint distance, but when the races get longer, I think he'll have equal success.
You know what's interesting too is when we were handicapping this race, and the same thing could be said of the boys' race, the Sanford on Sunday or Saturday. I'm losing track. Was it
Saturday?
When you deal with these first out winners, there's so many that win at five and five and a half, and they're just gonna run fast and wire fields. So when you looked at these groups, you're thinking to yourself, I kind of want somebody that can sit a little bit, you know, stalk and go. And you draw the rail, which I'm sure, you know, nobody with a young horse, even one that's made a start, Eddie, you don't necessarily want to put them there, and especially with her running style, where there was a chance that she might get shuffled back.
Well, yeah, we talked about all of that when we found out that we got post one. So of all the gates you'd like to leave from, that was the least of our the least one we would have wanted. So we dealt with it. She broke sharp, but she's not a speedball, so there was a couple of horses out sprinted her for the first quarter of a mile, but she's got quality, so she can relax on the inside, and didn't get crowded. She was in a pocket. She had two in front of her, one outside of her. She was in a little bit of a pocket for part of the race, a good part of the early part of the race, but she was content to sit there and relax. But as soon as the gap opened before they turned her home, she had enough ability to get out of there real quick and find running room.
Well, and came running and then got clear and was essentially romping home. And as you said, everything indicates that this is a filly that's going to stretch out. And you get the win over the racetrack at Saratoga. And I imagine that it's hard not to look toward the spinaway, no?
No doubt. I mean, it's a logical race for a filly like this. We'll certainly look at it. If she continues to do good and train well and come into it good, we'll run her in it. Obviously, if she's telling us she's not ready or she something might go amiss, well, then we'll go to plan B or C down the road. But I think that's the logical spot for her to spin away.
And Eddie, I had thought that you had gone back to Kentucky. Pretty much you're going to, if you run here this summer, you're going to just ship in?
Yeah, we're not going to have a lot of horses at Saratoga this summer. We run for a lot of money in Churchill. We just closed the Churchill meet, and we ran a lot of horses there. We run for a lot of money. So we'll run sparingly at Saratoga. They've got a great stakes program, and hopefully we'll have a few more for their stakes races during the course of the meet.
You know, and I, one of the things I always do for this is, go back and look at other, other stake wins, particularly when it comes to Saratoga. And you've made a steady diet of these two-year-old stakes early in the meet because you had Bitumen win, you had By Your Side. They both were Sanford winners. I mean, this has been a strong, and really the two-year-old programs wherever you are during the, the two-year-old portion of schedules have been a strong area for you.
No doubt. We like, to run horses at Saratoga in the two-year-old stakes races if we think we've got the right kind of horse. We've been fortunate to win the Sanford twice. And, of course, we were second in the hopeful a few years further back. But, no doubt about it. I think it's a great program, the stakes races there. And, I wish we had more to run in them.
Well, this one seems like a terrific grade one candidate, as we discussed. And in the meantime, Eddie, the horses that you're sending out at Ellis, you got some interesting players. I want to talk about those starters that are already lined up for this week. You got three maidens starting on Friday, and they've already drawn the Saturday card as well, but Mally's Monsoon and Fight Fiercely on Friday in the 5th and the 7th.
Yeah, both horses belong to Joe Sutton. Fight Fiercely has run once. He ran at Churchill in the maiden race sprinting 5/8, and he was third and ran well. He needs further. He's a twirling candy colt, and he's running at 7 furlongs on Friday. I'd like him quite a bit. Mally's Monsoon makes her first start, and she looks like she's pretty sharp. I'd expect a good effort from her first time out. May or may not win first time out, but I do think she's a solid enough filly.
Well, and Fight Fiercely, we'll start there for a second, and that was a $230,000 yearling purchase. Warrendale consigned the Twirling Candy, as you said, Moon Over Matter, the Malibu Moon Dam. Who was unraced, actually, and going over to, let's go over to Mally's Monsoon, and this one, a Midnight Storm, and speaking of, kind of offbeat stallions who have had some early success, this is a homebred. How many mares does Joe keep?
Yeah, both those horses belong to Joe Sutton.
Right.
Mally's Monsoon is a homebred. Of course, she's out of one of his better mares. cowgirl Molly, who produced a Sanford winner, Scabbard. So this is a half-sister to Scabbard.
Wow.
So she has a pretty strong page, and she's precocious. She just, unfortunately, I think she could have run back in May or June, but she had a few minor setbacks. But she's naturally precocious, so I think she'll be sharp tomorrow or Friday. I think she'll run a good race. She may not win it, but I do think she'll run well.
I like it. I'm just pulling this up on American Produce Records that I use for all the pedigree work. Invaluable tool from BrizNet. And yeah, there's Scabbard, absolutely more than ready. And there's actually a Scabbard. How about a Scabbard full brother coming next year? The yearling.
Correct.
Right now.
Yeah. And of course, I trained the mutter as well, Cowgirl Molly for Joe. So we've had horses for him for 15 or 20 years now. And he's been a great, great client. And I'd like to get another good one for him. Of course, he had Braidster a few years back, who won the grade one Stephen Foster. But been a while between drinks for Joe for having a good horse. So hopefully one of these two could pop up and be a graded horse for him later this year.
Well, and even Cowgirl Molly herself was stakes placed in the Schuylerville.
Correct, in her second start. She won on debut at Churchill for us, and then her second start, she was placed in the Schuylerville.
Well, and boy, you go back. This is an interesting family. That second dam, Destination, was winless, but she was a full sister to General Meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong enough page, and the mare herself has shown to be a producer. And, it'd be nice to add to it now.
I love it. All right, let's look also at Saturday already. And I didn't realize that they had that they were drawing that far out at Ellis. So the Saturday card already available. And here is Under One Sky. This one is a three-year-old by Unified that's still kind of trying to find the way, although has got some decent earnings already.
Yeah, she's still a maiden. She's run a few times. She'll be knocking at the door in this race, mile and an eighth on the turf, and I'd expect a decent effort from her. She'll be knocking at the door. She's going to break her maiden here pretty soon. Hopefully it's Saturday, but she'll be real live, I would think.
Nice. It's funny. This family. This is also a family where Seattle Slough has influenced.
Weekend surprises down there under the turf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Down.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. Look at this. Well, can't you gotta like that, Eddie. You know, one thing I did not do with you before we talk about anything else that's going on in the barn.
Nice to get a graded stake win with Brooke Marie. She's daughter of Lemon Drop Kid, who's she won a listed stake for us earlier in the year at Fairgrounds, and to win the Monrovia was certainly enhance her value, and she's a big pretty mare, and she'll make a great broodmare.
You know, you and I was going to say a very similar maneuver by Brendan Walsh actually went out right with Ocean Drive to win the grade one. And so you guys did he really learned that from you, I would guess.
I don't know where he learned it from. You don't make so many mistakes.
No,
that's for sure,
right? You know, it's funny because I guess it was Sunday. Yeah, I was as we were waiting for you to come on. I started to mention that I was with Gary in the golf cart over by in the Oklahoma, and Brendan Walsh went by, and I called out, and Gary said to me, "Who is that?" I said, "It's Brendan Walsh." He says, "He says, you know, I don't really know him." I said, "It came up under Eddie." I said, "One of Eddie Keneally's graduates." I mean, I think we talk about this every time we have you visit, Eddie, is how many trainers you've produced that have come up under you and come to this country under you.
Yeah, that's right. So we're happy that Brendan could do so well, and he established himself as one of the top trainers in the country now. Delighted for him, and he's doing very well. And of course, Tom Morley came through as well, worked with us for a couple of years, and he's always rock solid in New York.
Well, talk about a couple of other horses. That three-year-old that I think we saw at Churchill a couple of weeks ago, and I know that you think highly of We All See It. This is the Street Sense colt. Where are you with him? Because yeah, it seems like there's some talent there.
Yeah, now that horse actually got claimed for $80,000 at,
oh,
at
wow.
Churchill on the 4th of July weekend. Yeah, hopefully he can go on and do some good for his new connections.
How about that? And I'm just looking here, Juan Cano. What's your thoughts on those high priced those 62.5 and 75 and $80,000 claims? That's it's I guess it's a way to buy a ready made horse.
It is. I mean, we run for such good purses here that some of them need to run at that level to be productive and to continue to be competitive. Whereas some of those allowance races here tend to get awful tough, and he was a horse that was probably not going to go to the next level. So to run him for 80 was probably the right thing to do. Yeah, he's a solid horse. He'll win more races, but maybe not at the highest level.
What's next for the horse that you own with Chris Hayes, that Super Saver Filly Shoplifter?
Yeah, she's nominated to the Adirondack. And she's a possibility for that race. She's also nominated to a race the following weekend at Ellis Park. So she could run in either of those. Nice filly, Super Saver. Second first time out, and then came back and won nicely here at Churchill recently.
This one out of a Bernstein mare, New Shaker. Nice win. What other? How about some unraced two-year-olds that we should look forward to?
Yeah, there's a few that look like they're okay. I think we've got quite a few getting ready to make their first start here over the next month or so. There's a Warfront filly that looks like she's okay. There's a couple of others as well. So they're gradually getting ready and. During the course of the summer and fall, we'll have more coming through, hopefully.
What's the Warfront Filly's name?
Say it again, Steve. You broke up there.
The name of the Warfront Filly.
She is unnamed at this point, but she'll...
Oh.
So we're looking at that. I need to get a couple of these names here over the next little bit. There's a few of them getting closer now.
All right. Well, if you want help from the public, send me the dam's name, and we'll put it up there on Twitter.
Okay. Sounds good, Steve. You doing okay yourself?
All good. I'm sorry I missed you on Thursday. I look forward to seeing you. Maybe if you come back for the Adirondack, but at the very least, I'll see you at Kentucky Downs, Churchill, Keeneland in September, or for the Spinaway in September.
Exactly right. No doubt about it.
Eddie Keneally, everybody, and Just Cindy. And you can read about her and the Justify progeny that are out there tomorrow. And I'm sure Sid will flesh it out as well. And Eddie is on Twitter, and I'm Keneally Racing, two N's, two L's. And I don't think Eddie's a really active. Let's see. Yeah, he's not that active on Twitter. But I'm going to get the dam's name, and maybe we'll give him a hand, right? Naming that filly. There's nothing more frustrating than unnamed babies out on the racetrack. You know, you see some horse, and they work well, and then you go look it up. And it's got the mare's name and the fact that it's a 20. You'll see the mare's name and 20. So that's all you know, is that it's the progeny of that mare for the year. And you got to do a little legwork. That can't make it too easy on us, right? you got to put the work in and, you know, trace them back. Sometimes just, you can, it's one thing when you put the watch, you know, I never thought about this. Can you put an unnamed into your stable, into your virtual stable? I've never tried that, now that I think about it. Interesting. That I will try to do that, actually, and see if it works. If you can put in just the mayor's name. Here, I'm on DRF, so let's go to DRF Horse Watch, add watch, and we'll see. It search name. Here, let me put in this dam's name, or I could pull up. Here, we could pull up. Well, these are yearlings, though. So from the yearling, let's see if you can find the dam, but you can't. No, see, it's not. There's no way to indicate. All right. We've discovered. It's an undiscovered arena. Unnamed two-year-olds. All right, for virtual stables. Let's see. Let's see if we can't. We'll check around with the virtual stable management systems. You know, and Eddie, stressed how strong Eddie's been with the two-year-old program here, and I'd forgotten actually about the one winner that Batuman I remembered. That was a horse that stayed around for a long time, right? By Your Side, I had forgotten about. Eddie's had a really good, consistent career, and you go through his winners, particularly strong with sprinters too. He's had not exclusively, of course, but Custom for Carlos, right? Custom for Carlos stands in Louisiana, and Kelly's Landing, of course. Kelly's Landing was terrific. His first stake winner was Belle of Parentown, right? And whenever I see her name, I want to look at her because I think she's got a, if I'm not mistaken, some current runners still. Yeah, there you go. Bo Liam was her most recent success, going back. That was her. He's a 4-year-old. Tomlin was hers. The Distorted Humor filly won a quarter of a million. Strike It Rich was her big. I knew she had some very nice produce. The 3-year-old filly right now, Airy Oakley, is Belle of Parentown's. And that was Eddie's first graded stake winner, the Silver Bullet Day in 2003. How about that? And she's still producing. Unbelievable. And thanks to my man, Clocker John, ringing in. He says that there's the unnamed, the Belle of Parentown, there's an unnamed 2-year-old that is in the Asmussen barn. So keep an eye on that one. And there it is, unnamed. It's a good magic. It's a good magic filly, 2-year-old. So, all right, you've got a few for your unnamed watch list. And I'll get that damn from Eddie with the Warfront Philly. Whenever you hear me ask about, you know, the horses that are yet to start, whatever the first name they pop with, that it's a natural. You just make sure you jot them down and keep tabs. And we got plenty of listeners. Most notably, I think probably Smokin' Joe McKay. Not just Joe, because somebody else the other day somebody had the McPeak winner. That the horse of Kenny's that he absolutely lauded on the show, and that what was it? CC. I'm going to forget the last name, but won it at Ellis and paid nicely. So, yeah. Got it. Ear to the ground, ear to the rail. A couple of things, too, about Colonial yesterday. Let me slip this in. I promised as we went we would slip things in. You aren't looking at the wrong charts from yesterday at Colonial when it came to the two jump races. And we're certainly looking forward tomorrow to the Smithwick, first of the two grade ones up here. And we'll talk about it tomorrow probably with Sean Clancy. Last week, the first two jump races at Colonial, Arch Kingsley and Kerry Brion. This week, Arch Kingsley and Kerry Brion, they come back again, and they both win again. Yeah, Arch with Hurtgen Forrest, an American 4-year-old, wire to wire, and Theocrat for Kerry. That was actually a handicap race. That was you had winners in there. So the other one, though, was a maiden race. So far, three maidens that'll come up to Saratoga. And here's what looks like a solid 5-year-old, Theocrat, Atayafio gelding for Atlantic Friends Racing. And Arch's winner was Carrington Holdings. So 2 weeks in a row, Arch Kingsley and Kerry Brion winners. Let's do this. Let's take the break. First of two this morning, hour one flies by. Rich Migliori is going to join us next. Johnny D later and much more. Stay with us at the races, SiriusXM.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.